Redeeming the time for the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16. We are going to be on the subject tonight because God wants to redeem the time. And we're going to start tonight right out of the gate. But first, I'm David, and this is my lovely wife, Joanna. We are the Hair Obedience, virtualchurchmedia.com. Feel free to download our mobile app. Share this video now, if you want, and we ask you to do it. How about that? Redeem the time, for the days are evil. So we're going to pray and we're going to get right into this teaching because God wants to redeem the time that's been lost. And when God redeems something, he buys it back as if it was never sold. It's an amazing thing. And when you pray for God to redeem the time, he'll redeem it and give you another opportunity to do it right. It's kind of like redo. You get to do the game over again, but now you've already learned from where you didn't do it right, so now you can go do it correctly this time. Come, Holy Spirit, show us how to redeem the time, for the days are evil, that we might release your righteousness and your goodness and release heaven's will into the earth, that the Father's will might be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. What is the meaning of redeeming the time in Ephesians 5:16? Well, I am glad you asked. Ephesians 5:16, really verse 15 and 16. This is reading from the King James Version. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. We can walk upright, we can walk righteously, we can walk circumspectly, or we can walk as fools. And we've both done those things in our life on both sides of the spectrum. So see then that you walk circumspectly, King James Version, Ephesians 5:15 and 16, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The phrase redeeming the time is also, interestingly enough, found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, those that are outside the body of Christ or the family of believers, they don't know better. So walk wisely in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Colossians 4, 5. In both passages, redeeming the time is related to wisdom in how we walk. That is, in how we live. There's knowledge, there's understanding, and there's wisdom. There's knowledge, there's understanding, and there's wisdom. Knowledge is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. The internet is full of knowledge. Knowledge puffs up alone, but love builds up. So knowledge is facts and information. Understanding is containers to gather that information. So knowledge is like water, it's everywhere. Two-thirds of the earth is covered with water. But if you gather the water in containers, that's like understanding. And then wisdom is knowing where and how much to pour. So if I walked up to you and I had water and you were thirsty and you'd come out of the Sahara Desert and I gave you water and I threw it on you, you'd want to swim in it, you'd want to drink it, you'd be so happy that I brought you water. But if you were in a silk suit or a silk dress and I walked up at a party and I threw water on you, you wouldn't be happy about it. And what happens is a lot of times we have knowledge and we even gather in containers that water, which is understanding. But sometimes we fail to know where and how much to pour, which would be wisdom. So if you overwater a plant, you can kill it. Mm-hmm. And as teachers, we have to be careful we don't fire hose you with information. As a teacher, I have to be careful that I don't serve up crock pots of meat that nobody ordered. Mm-hmm. We have to spoon feed babies. And when do you feed a baby? When they are hungry. Holy Spirit, give us knowledge, give us understanding, and give us wisdom that we might gather the information that's ubiquitous everywhere in containers with understanding, and we might know where and how much to pour, that it might be a blessing when we speak to people. We might be like those that have words of wisdom, apples in gold and settings of silver that bring refreshing unto them who are weary, that we might have a word fitly spoken to encourage others. To redeem something means to buy it back, to regain possession of it. Time is a gift from God. Time is a gift from God. You know, as you get older and you get closer to the end of your time, nobody on a deathbed, when asked, what would you do if you had it to do over again? Nobody says, oh, I'd have worked at least, you know, 3 more 16-hour days a week. They say, I would have spent more time with my family. I would have spent more time enjoying life. I would have spent more time in prayer and in the Word. I would have spent more time in winning the lost. I would have spent more time in things that have eternal value, building memory with family and friends. God wants to redeem the time that we've lost with family and friends and give us back what's most important that has eternal value. People don't say, you know, I wish I would have bought another boat. I would have bought another supercar. I wish I would have bought another this and that. What they say is, I wish I hadn't have done that at the expense of my family and friends. But people will say, I had the most fun in this convertible because I spent time with people as we drove around. I had so much time that I enjoyed with my horses and spent time in nature with God. I had a friend of mine, he said that he began to connect with God on his motorcycle. And he would go out and drive for 2 or 3 hours on his motorcycle. And he would get revelation from the Lord. He would be alone with the Lord on his motorcycle. Other people tell me they get alone with the Lord when they ride their bicycle. Other people get alone with the Lord when they're gardening and the Lord begins to show them revelation from the Word while they garden. Other people when they ride their horse. And almost every one of them, when I've talked with them, said that, you know, the very thing that God gave me to connect with Him, I found that I became so focused on it that at one point, I was no longer enjoying the Lord. I was focused on my gardening and how the yield was and what the plants looked like and the horticulture. And all of a sudden, I lost the unseen one looking at the things that were seen. But it was through the seen that God began to reveal to me how He does seed time and harvest. Another friend of mine that used to love to ride motorcycles, the Lord actually, he liked riding the motorcycle so much, he now no longer had the deep relationship with the Lord. It was just riding the bike and upgrading the bike and getting the leathers for the bike and all the little gadgets and the stainless steel or whatever. And he had the coolest bike. And the bike that God connected with him on now became something he had to crucify and sell and give money to the ministry to go win the lost, because it became idolatry. And whatever you have, if it enables you to connect with God, do it. But if it becomes an idol, get rid of it until you can reconnect with the Lord. And however that is, I don't know if that helps you at all. To redeem something means to buy it back. By the way, my friend with the motorcycle, now he's got another motorcycle. And he and his wife ride together. And it's a really tricked out motorcycle. But they ride and they're together in marriage. And they do ministry. And sometimes he goes out and rides alone. And he'll get downloads. And then he'll go on Zooms and lives and preaches. And God just moves through the revelation that he got. And other people are set free. To redeem something means to buy it back, to regain possession of it. Time is a gift from God. And none of us know how much of it we are allotted. Time is a gift from God. And none of us know how much time. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow, your life could be snatched from you, or you could live another 100 years. Only God knows how much time each of us has on this earth to make decisions that will impact eternity. Psalms 139, 16. When God says we should be redeeming the time, He wants us to live in constant awareness of that ticking clock and make the most time of what we have. In fact, the NIV's translation of Ephesians 5:16 says, uses the phrase, making the most of every opportunity. So it's not just about time, it's about opportunity. There's three words for time in Scripture. There's chronos, kairos, and pleroma. Little Greek lesson for you today. And so chronos is like chronograph watch. Tick, 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 tick. You can't start it, you can't stop it. It goes each day. Do you know that you have 86,400 seconds a day? Each person gets the same allotted time. There's 24 hours in a day. Every hour has 60 minutes and every minute has 60 seconds. So 24 hours times 60 minutes times 60 seconds. 24 times 60 times 60 is 86,400 seconds. And you have, I have the same amount of time. You know, we had to stop taking ministry calls from everybody in the world as God expanded our ministry because we only have so many hours in the day. We need to be inhaling in prayer and fellowship and the Word so that we can breathe in God in the private time so that when we're in ministry, we can breathe out the breath of life. Otherwise, our batteries get drained spiritually as people will tug on you. And if you don't have anything that's been imparted to you from the Lord, you don't have anything to give out. So we have to spend time alone with the Lord, breathing in like Mary at Jesus' feet, not like Martha who's running around making Galilean fish sandwiches for Jesus that he never ordered.
Well, you know, that also is with family, yep. You know, and friends, because it, especially if you have a lot of, the family has a lot of needs, mm-hmm. and then it's easy to put everyone else first other than ourselves. And so then we get depleted and we get burnt out, especially and that, moms.
And you know, another thing is when you get depleted in ministry, you can become short with people and you can actually do the Lord a disservice and His people a disservice because you take that call. And you're worn down and they're in an emergency state and you don't have the ability to pour in because you're not operating out of the overflow of the Father's love. You're operating out of your own limitation. So my phone has a battery in it. And this phone has 88% on it right now because I recharged it. You know what happened? During the day, I used it and depleted it down. And the more you use it, the less the battery is charged. So you have to put it back on the charger. And that's like prayer. When we pray, we're back on the charger with God. And do you know that when I plug the phone in, it recharges? And the thing about it is I'm going to a greater source when I plug it in. By the way, that's our mobile app. Download it at virtualchurchmedia.com. On demand from the palm of your hand. Accelerated growth using technology. Download it today. And so what happens is this. When we tap in to God's power, which is unlimited, He'll refill us. But here's what happens. If we don't spend time away with the Lord in prayer, we're operating on what's left in our little battery instead of what's flowing from heaven. And when you have rivers of living water flowing from within you, you have plenty to give out. But if you haven't been in prayer, and I haven't been in prayer, we now are operating out of the well on the inside of us, pulling the ladle down and pouring out to people. And there's a big difference when you have to dig down, not from the overflow, but from the well. You deplete yourself because you're operating out of your own battery, not out of heaven's empowerment. I don't know if that helps you. And so we found that when we start to get short with people or irritated, it's because we haven't had the time alone with the Lord in prayer. And so we have to pull away to get back on the charger. Otherwise, we have nothing to give to people. Because people don't want what David and Joanna have apart from the overflow of God, the Holy Spirit, on the inside of us. We're brackish waters without Him. But with Him, you'll get refreshed with the Lord when we're prayed up and overflowing. And you'll refresh others when you're prayed up, because you've got a river of life flowing out of you. Makes a lame to walk, makes the blind to see, opens prison doors and sets the captives free. Because you've got a river of life flowing out of you. But as you pray in the Spirit, it will bubble up into a river and a well of everlasting life. So when God says we should be redeemed in the time, He wants us to live in constant awareness of that ticking clock and make the most of the time we have. Now, this isn't a fear-based message on time. Because God, when you really begin to flow in the Spirit, what happens is He redeems the time and He enables you to get so much more done, because He'll send out His angels. And instead of calling people and doing all these works that are good works and cold calling and trying to massage relationships to get something done, when you spend time with God, He'll cause even your enemies to be at peace with you, and God will redeem the time. He'll send angels. Now, the last 3 or 4 months, Joanna and I have been in this unusual season of super grace. Wherever we go, it's like we get concierge service. And by the way, I've cleaned toilets. I've done, you know, listen, I did 20 years in federal prison working 12 cents an hour. Your tax dollars hard at work. I've done all kinds of things that you wouldn't think of. And when I got out of prison after 20 years, I would clean the bathroom at our own fellowship. I would do the windows. I mean, I would make the CDs. I would be the one button technology guy that would videotape. I would be the guy that would upload. I've done all of it. Made the CD labels. I mean, you name it. Built the website, social media. So I'm not unwilling to do any of that stuff. Doesn't bother me at all. However, we've come into this season where we're being pulled into the king's tables. And we'll pull up and there might be 350 people at this private event where people pay. We didn't pay anything. We showed up. They saw us. We've never met them before. Somebody makes the introduction. They're like, I saw you in a dream. You're supposed to be with me at dinner, like Nicodemus, come down out of that tree. The next thing I know, everybody's trying to get access to these people. And we're at the table with them privately for 3 hours in these conversations. High-level stuff. We'll go to the next city. It happens there again. I mean, we recently went on a cruise. The next thing I know, God elevated us to the yacht club with 2 butlers. I'm like, never had 1 butler.
And then I came home and I was so depressed because I had to clean everything myself. I had to cook everything. I mean, they did our cabin like twice a day, you know, the morning and the night. Put out our slippers, you know, vacuum twice a day. Yeah, it was hard coming home.
They would bring us little chocolates at night in this plexiglass case. We had our own. I mean, I don't even know how really it happened. It was prophetic though, because we were coming down from the 19th floor. We were late for an excursion. It's a funny story, but God will teach you through situations. And as we're coming down from really the penthouse, and the elevators are coming down, and we'd been on a cruise before, and we saw somebody coming down the elevator. We're ready to go on, and the concierge or the butler standing in front, VIP, VIP, please take the next elevator. I'm there polite about it. I wasn't happy about it. The next thing I know, we're coming down. The elevator stops on that floor. They're like, VIP, VIP. People are looking at us, and we're like, I guess we're the VIPs now. And so when God promotes you, don't allow an entitlement spirit to get in. Because if God told us to clean the toilets again, we would do it. And that's where we have to always remain. Don't miss your day of visitation. Accept it and enjoy that. Because it's a time of refreshing where God gave us a vacation that we much needed. And then we ended up ministering at another location with somebody. Next thing you know, we're pulled right into the green room. And everywhere we go, we're pulled into these green rooms in private. I don't know what's happening. And just this weekend, we were down at a location. Same thing happened. And so it's not something that we tried to do. We didn't even ask for it, actually. It's just been happening. And we were recently in Santa Barbara. We were supposed to be on for like a 15 or a 20 minute TV broadcast. And they were recording us. And the people came out, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, that kind of thing with the little signs to tell you how much time you've got left. And the person interviewing us just kept on looking at them and ignoring them. We ended up with a 1 hour broadcast till the batteries went dead. And
I'm like, is this broadcast going to be over anytime soon? I'm tired of sitting here.
Yeah, and but there was such a prophetic flow with Joanna's testimony of what Jesus has done for her and what Jesus now does through her to other women and their identities. And, you know, the testimony God's given me from drug dealer and jet airplane thief for the Colombian drug cartel to being married to, you know, former Miss America now, and how God redeems the time. And so the guy said, this is the most fascinating testimony we've ever had on our program. And then we get invited to a broadcast. What's interesting is we ended up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And we ended up ministering a few days there. And somehow my tickets, I don't know how this happened, but my tickets were switched back to the same city we just come out of. And I'm like, I didn't cancel my flight. I'm like, is this the devil? But I have peace about it. I pray, and the Lord says, you know, this is me. And so we flew back to the city we came out of, and we got invited to a TV broadcast, 150 million homes in the Middle East. And so we're being interviewed on this program, and the owner of the network text messages me. And he says, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're not doing the broadcast. He says, can you do it without me? So he gives us our TV, his TV studio, and trusts us with his studio. And we're broadcasting out to the Middle East. And so it was supposed to be like a 30-minute program, because with translation into Arabic, it's really 30 minutes, it takes an hour. But they wouldn't turn it off. We ended up 45 minutes on that broadcast, sharing the love of God. And God is redeeming the time for the days are evil. Another thing that's happened is videos that we had that never went viral 8-10 years ago that I recorded on a Flip Minnow 149.95 1080p camera back in the day, uploading on 1 megabyte upload speed. We got 1,000 megabytes now, just to put that. He'll make you 1,000 times more, 1,000 times faster. And so maybe 13, 14 years ago. And all of a sudden, those videos that never went viral 12, 13 years ago, suddenly are coming up in the algorithm and starting to spin out. So God can promote you overnight. The question is, can you handle the promotion? And do you steward it properly? If so, you'll be sustained in the promotion. Otherwise, you'll be promoted only to be demoted or to fall or to mar his name with the promotion. And I've also found this, when God begins to promote you from the outer courts, the inner courts, Holy of Holies, sometimes you start to lose relationships, not because you've done anything wrong, but because you don't have the time that you used to have. And it doesn't mean that you don't love the people that you have spent time with, but there's only so many hours in the day. I had to start putting things in 15-minute segments, because if I talked to people longer than 15 minutes, what would happen is it would eat up the time for the assignment God had given me. And this isn't to be mean to people or rude to people. It's to steward your 86,400 seconds a day. And as God begins to promote you, I mean, think about this. Let's say of a CEO of a corporation, and let's say he has 7,000 employees. How much time can he spend each day with each employee? Not a lot. So there is a hierarchy of structure. What happens is, Moses was told by his father-in-law, stop hearing all these cases of the people's needs. You've got 3 million in the wilderness, 2 or 3 million. You need to delegate your authority. Put people over thousands, over hundreds, over 50, and over tens. That's where cell group leaders start to come up. You can't go to church on Sunday and listen to a pastor at a mega church and have access to him or her on a regular basis. You need to be under authority that's under authority, that's under authority, that's under that pastor's authority, and that pastor also is under authority. Whether it's a board or somebody else or accountability, staff. So people don't make decisions in a vacuum. We need to have that revelation of we are stewarding God's time. You know what the Lord spoke to me one day? He was speaking to me that when I am before a congregation for an hour, if there's 100 people in the congregation, that's 100 hours of God's people's time. And I had to learn to steward that time. And when I would be invited up, I remember I was invited up to speak for 5 minutes. And there was 500 people there. And so 5 minutes times 500 is 2,500 minutes of God's people's time. And so I spoke for 4 minutes and handed the microphone back. And the pastor looked at me, he was a prophet actually, and he looked at me and he said to me afterwards, he says, I'll trust you with the microphone anytime. He says, the first time you speak, you had something to say. You were prayed up, you had revelation, it complemented the continuity of what was being spoken, that we're all speaking the same thing. He says, I'll always trust you with the microphone because you didn't misuse the time that had been given to you. We were on a broadcast years later, my wife and I, God redeemed the time. And when you're faithful with little things, God will give you authority over more. And I went from 40 highway with 40 people on a Friday night to all of a sudden we were on the super highway on TV to 100 million homes on satellite. We went from 40 highway with 40 people to the super highway with 100 million homes. I don't know how many were watching on satellite. Who knows? Maybe 10,000. Might have only been 10,000, like a mega church, but through the TV. But God trains you. When you're faithful with the time and you steward it correctly. And so, what have you been doing with your time? Have you been faithful with it? Are you spending time inhaling the breath of heaven so that when people contact you and you're sent to somebody, you're exhaling the breath of heaven? Or maybe you've been watching politics or, you know, sitcoms or I don't even know what these shows are, Jerry Springer or whatever it was back in the day that people were caught up in. And then instead of having wisdom from heaven, you've got worldly wisdom or the wisdom of hell. And so whatever you spend your time with beholding, you'll become more like it. And the wisdom that you have will line up with that entity, that structure, that messaging. So we must redeem the time. So what happened was one day I was on the treadmill and Joanna called me and I'm thinking to myself, I'm trying to do temple maintenance. I'm trying to, you know, it was hard enough as it was and it was kind of like COVID-ish and people are wearing masks and, you know, I guess you could like pull down the mask when you worked out, but you'd have to put it back up. None of it made sense. You know, like the ATMs, you had to wear a mask and you had to be 6 feet behind somebody, but 3 feet across because COVID could only like go one direction, I think. I don't know. Just none of it made sense. It was a crazy, chaotic, illogical season as we look back. And it divided people. And it's sad, but you could tell whether people were leaning into God for his wisdom or they were leaning into the television from what may not have been God-breathed wisdom as we look back and we look at the chronicling of what we now know is a little bit more truth. We're like, boy, a lot of people got carried away with the spirit of fear because they didn't spend time with the spirit of faith in prayer. Joanna?
Oh, no, you were going to tell them that I had called.
Oh, so she calls, and so I'm like, I'm doing temple maintenance. Why is she calling me? Must be important. You know, filled with the spirit of love there toward my wife. And so I answered, I said, yes, my love. And she says, so-and-so's called and she says her husband wants you to come and and pray with him on the TV set tonight. And I said, oh. And I said, okay. And I said, well, let me finish this workout. I'll call you back. And so I prayed, and as I was praying in the spirit while I'm on the treadmill, because wherever you're at, you can connect with God. And you know, sometimes in prison, the only way you could get away from all the people and the voices was to go hide in the bathroom alone. Close the stall. There you are with Jesus in the throne room, right? The porcelain throne. And so, you know, God will meet you where you're at. Tell the truth, shame the devil. So however you connect with him is good. There's a story about a man who in one of the Asian, you know, prison camps he was at, that he was a Christian, and they'd taken all the Bibles away, so you only had what you could remember. It's a true story. And so they had the pool that had all the excrement in it. And so nobody wanted that job to go stir it. And so he volunteered, and he would go out there and work that thing for 2 hours because he could pray in tongues and they wouldn't bother him. And they wouldn't knock him in the head for praying in the spirit. And so that's where he connected with God, was in the cesspool. And then he breathed in the breath of heaven and went back and evangelized. So don't think that we just shared about butlers and little chocolates on, you know, plexiglass stuff. God may call you to that next week, and you got to be willing to do wherever he sends you and do it with the joy. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, not despising the shame. Sometimes it's a test to break character or to reveal character, break the bad habits. They take, you know, people that were CEOs or CFOs that started to get too full of themselves in the corporate world in New York, and they'd send them to like one of the properties that they owned, which was like, you know, a horse property with, you know, wonderful, beautiful, expensive horses. They thought they were going there for vacation. And when they got there, they assigned them a shovel to shovel the horse manure for 10 days. And they were ready to quit their job. I don't need to shovel. That's for a grunt. That's for a nobody. I order people to do this. Well, you're either going to do this or you're going to be fired. And by day 10, their whole character changed, and they had compassion. And even though they were really good intellectually on numbers and running people, they had lost touch with the reality. And so sometimes you have to pull away from your high, lofty position and go do the horse manure shoveling so you can connect with God in that lowly position. Because if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. And if we exalt ourselves, God will humble us. Actually, the word humble isn't the same. It's actually abase, which means humiliate. So do you know you can humiliate somebody and they still don't become humble? Or you can humble yourself. God resists the proud, but he gives more grace, more unmerited favor to the humble. Anyway, so I'm praying in tongues. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Because I don't really even know what the invitation is. Go help somebody pray on TV. And so the Lord speaks to me, only agree to go if you can bring your wife, and his wife can come as well. Make it a quartet. So now I've heard from heaven. So I get off the treadmill, like 20 or 30 minutes, whatever it is, I'm sweating, and I call back. I said, please put so-and-so on the phone. So we're on a three-way, and I tell her, yeah, the only way that the Lord spoke to me, the only way that we'll agree to go is if my wife can come. And she says, oh. She says, that's not a problem. And I said, and that you would come as well. Oh, I don't want to go. I've been on these boards. No, then if you don't go, we don't go. Let's make it a quartet or not. And she laughs and she says, okay, I'll go. But see, here was the wisdom of God. If I'd have gone alone, what happened when my wife was present and the other person's wife was present was so much greater. It turned out that night that it was the largest viewing audience of the week for like this week of prayer and events that went around the world with 5.2 billion connected devices. And as it started out, 100 million live viewers. And as we got ready to be handed the microphones, just for a few minutes, the number spiked up to around 200 million live viewers. And the person that invited us, it was because his wife had really endorsed us. And it was about 25 minutes from the house. We drove over, we get in. Long story short, we got there because we got directions wrong, east versus west. We got there at like 2 minutes before the broadcast went live. So we didn't even have time to talk. But because we had TV ministry experience, we kind of knew where everything was at. So God built it. And the next thing I know, we're being interviewed. And it went on as every time I'd hand the microphones back, you have to respect the time. Because now I'm not in a congregation of 40 or 100 or 500. I'm in a congregation of 200 million. Redeeming the time. When you're faithful with little, God gives you authority over much. Little keys unlock big doors. Big doors swing on small hinges. And it's so important that we're faithful in what He's given us, whether it's cleaning the toilet, washing the windows. And every time we handed the microphone back, the wife had been speaking in the ear of the husband to ask us another question that she knew the answer to, but he didn't. And we're on live TV, that's dangerous. But because he trusted his wife, the next thing I know, I share that my wife sings, and she sings in Hebrew. And, well, please sing. So Joanna is singing in Hebrew a cappella, and we're preaching and praying for, and keep handing. So about a half an hour goes by in this moment in time, and I believe that we probably ended up preaching in that 30 minutes to live viewers, not just homes or channels where there's 600 stations. More in that 30 minutes than we probably had in our ministry. And so God will redeem the time. He will promote you at the right time. And when He does, it might be just for that moment, and He might hide you again. Or it might be for sustained time. So whatever God does, if He keeps you hidden, thank Him for keeping you hidden one more day. And if He gives you notoriety, thank Him for Him trusting you with His name, that you point people back to Him. And so God wants to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And so as we close tonight, God wants to redeem the time. And I'm going to share a couple of quick stories. While I was incarcerated, the Lord would ask me to direct me or prompt me to go minister to somebody on the prison compound. And I wasn't always 100% obedient. I know that may surprise you because you guys are 100% obedient all the time. But, you know, I'm weak, broken, frail. I need Jesus and grace. And so when I would miss the moment, I would say, oh God, I missed it. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. In Jesus' name. And God would cause that person to turn around and come back. And there would be that moment in time. So the angels would be at work. And then God would do something great. You know, you can do something wrong, and you can ask God to redeem the time, to buy it back. He'll redeem it so you can do it right. It's kind of like a do-over. It's called recalculating on the GPS. It's repent, do a U-turn, return to the penthouse, the highest place with God. And maybe you haven't done everything perfect with your children. You haven't done everything perfect with your spouse or at work. Or maybe you missed your day of visitation on a job opportunity or ministry opportunity, or a time to get away with God and fast, or a business opportunity. Do you know God can redeem the time and bring it right back in a different form, or even with the same person, and resolve it, fix it, take a bone that's been broken and make it stronger? Because He's the Redeemer. He's the Redeemer of your soul. He's a Redeemer of the paths to dwell in. He'll make the crooked path straight. And He'll take what the enemy meant for harm and turn it for good and for the saving of many alive, as He did in Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20, with Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And then God used him to deliver two nations, Gentile, pagan, and also his Jewish family, because he was faithful in the prison house as God developed character in him from the pasture to the pit to Potiphar's house in slavery, where he's falsely accused because he won't compromise. Then he ends up in the prison house because he did the right thing, and God developed character in him from age 17 to 30, 13 years from the time he sold into slavery. The pasture, his brothers sell him out. He goes to the pit. He goes to Potiphar's house in slavery. And then he goes to the prison house as a prisoner. And then after 13 years, at age 30, God promotes him into the palace and makes him prime minister under Pharaoh. With a P. There's your seven P's. Pasture, pit, prison. Pasture, pit, Potiphar's house, prison house, palace, prime minister under Pharaoh. God wants to redeem the time, for the days are evil. He wants to take our biggest mistakes, our biggest messes, and turn them into our message that points back to him. And people would say, only God could redeem that. Only God could do that. You know, my lovely wife, she used to serve at a Christian TV kind of broadcast, and they were well known. And the people that would record were not necessarily Christians, they were just really good at technology. And the people on the set maybe weren't so strong in the Lord and the power of his might behind the scenes. See, when you're squeezed in situations, what comes out of you is what's in you. You know, the devil made me do it. Now, when you squeeze an orange, what comes out is not necessarily orange juice. Could be a worm. Could be some, you know, sour stuff. So never say the devil made me do it or you made me do that. No, it couldn't have done it if it wasn't in you. So circumstances that press you don't cause you to do things. They reveal something within you. And so when we make mistakes and we're like, oh, I didn't know that was in me. Lord, I thank God for that person that provoked me or did this and that. I didn't know that was still in me. I thought you'd deliver me. There's still a seed of that. Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. Hide me, protect me, set me free from that iniquity cord. And then he can trust us to the next level. An issue unresolved will evolve. So we want to get those issues resolved at the foot of the cross. We want to get them resolved in the blood of the Lamb and cleansed, and the wrinkles and the spots cleansed. The wrinkles only come out with the pressing of heat. The spots come out with the washing of the water of his word. And he's looking for a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And I got news for you. The wrinkles will come out with the pressing of heat. And God will use some people in your life to bring the heat. And you might think that they're your enemy, but they're the ones that are ironing things out for you, getting those wrinkles out because he loves you. You know, women will spend all kinds of money on wrinkle removal cream, and God brings it for free at no charge. But it shows up as sandpaper Sam or, you know, Sour Sally.
Well, when I worked at my former workplace, it took 10 years for me to get some wrinkles ironed out. And I had a boss, you know, and to this day, you know, I am grateful, even though at that time I felt like he was my nemesis. And it forced me, his behavior and attitudes forced me to have to confront a deeper fear that I had on the inside. And which was being able to confront someone. And, you know, and so I finally got to that place after 10 years of my self-esteem getting to this place where I had confidence in myself and I wasn't operating in fear that I was going to get fired. So that was really my motivation, that I was afraid that I was going to get fired, even though I was doing the work of like 3-4 people, you know, and he would just give me work to see what I could do because he'd be like, wow, she did that too, you know, and I found that out later, you know. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And so, you know, it's a process, you know, and we have to give ourselves grace, you know, but I finally got there, you know, And I was able to then set my boundaries and, you know, be able to confront him and challenge him, but in a good way, you know.
Crucial conversations.
Crucial conversation.
With an expected end of mutual resolution and benefit.
Yeah, but he was very snarky, like very edgy, very snarky. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I drive home crying every night, I hate my job, I hate my job. And God would not allow me to find another job. I had a stellar resume. I never had a problem getting another job, right? Until I had to be here for 10 years at this one place. But I learned so much through my boss, you know, and
so he squeezed you.
Oh yeah, I got
through pressure. Right. He helped get the iron. He ironed out the wrinkles.
Yeah, he did.
And fear and confrontation. And Joanna's amazing in having crucial conversations in love with people. And but prior to that, you were working at a job which was in the media, as God was preparing you for media, but you were the help. You were Cinderella.
Right.
And so this...
And that was really identity related as well.
And now you minister to women in identity. So God does it to us or for us. Then when we're healed, he does it through us. By his stripes, where he's wounded the deepest, is where we get our healing from.
But I want to intersect something. So at that production studio, you know, I was called the kitchen help to take care of it, you know. And
you were
and,
the help.
And it wasn't my job to clean other people's dishes. That wasn't my role. But that was their expectation. And so there was this one guy who would always leave his plate. Yeah, have a breakfast burrito every morning, and he put it in the microwave, and the cheese would explode at the same spot every morning, and he'd leave it there, and it would dry out. And so I used to be so irritated. I'd walk in there with this little attitude in my heart. It is not my job to clean up his mess. I'm leaving it here, right? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day, and he said, well, yes, you can leave it there, or you can choose to clean it up. And what you choose today will determine how you're going to choose to serve my people. So I said, fine, you know. And so I did. I asked the Lord to change my heart and change my attitude about that. And God did. But, you know, it wasn't fun. And it was, you know, but God, he shaped my attitude and also taught me to never, ever look down on somebody else in whatever position they're at. And so it was a big lesson for me, you know, in a good, ouch, good way.
I used to have to clean the urine stains off the warden's toilet. That was my job, daily. And he took a lot of vitamins. You could tell. And so that was my job. And I had to do it and smile and act like nothing's wrong and be treated. And that's where God developed character in me. I went from the penthouse to the prison house for 20 years. And God's now restored a lot of penthouse type things. But they don't mean anything to us. We're like, oh, that's great. But if things change tomorrow, we wouldn't change because we've already developed in that character.
I want to add one more thing, you know, with the guy with the burrito man, right?
The cheese breakfast burrito man.
So the Holy Spirit spoke to me what I do unto the Lord.
There you go.
So I'm not doing it because I'm cleaning up this guy's mess. I'm doing it unto the Lord, and that's where I have my joy. So, and that's what shifted my perspective. And doing, you know, and cleaning up his mess, even though, you know, I didn't technically want or have to do it.
So I'm in prison, and it's my first year incarcerated, where I finally got out of the hole after 9 months in Leavenworth Penitentiary with the 200 cockroaches and the mice, you know, a wonderful time to sleep with the cockroaches crawling across your arm and coming across your mouth. And you know, and getting them onto the ground. It was not a fun time. And Leavenworth Penitentiary back then, if you weren't right with God, you were always just one heartbeat away from hell. And a lot of things in my book, Jet Ride to Hell, Journey to Freedom, I didn't put a lot of stuff in there. I put the things that would be lesson-based or restorative-based. But, you know, it wasn't always fun. And God gave me joy in the midst of that. So I get out to the compound, and they give me this job mowing the lawn, and the lawnmower had no motor. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but they are not easy to push. And so finally, you know, they got some new mowers because like enough was enough. We had like a lot of, so they gave me this one, and so I would push it. And this is how I would pray in tongues, because they couldn't hear me because of the mower. So I'd be pushing that mower for hours, going, and I'd be getting energized. So I'd spend my prayer time with the mower. Other people are spending prayer time cursing out the guards and the people that they hate, and I'm praising God. And so I would have this joy. And so finally what would happen is God asked me to start sacrificing my lunch and not eat. So you're pushing a mower for several hours, you're hungry. And God says, I want you to fast, and I want you to read the word during lunch, only to come back to push the mower for 3.5 more hours. So if you're pushing a mower for 6.5, 7 hours a day and no food, but God had a plan when I was faithful with that, and he gave me this verse, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. The prison guard wasn't my boss. The kingdom of heaven was my boss. The warden wasn't my boss. The kingdom of heaven was my boss. And I did all my work as unto the Lord. And it says this, servants, obey your masters. I hated that verse. Hated it. But I began to love it. Servants, obey your masters. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but unto the Lord. Like, what does eye service mean as men pleasers? Like when the boss comes around, you're working real hard. The minute he's gone, you're not working at all. So you do all your work as unto the Lord, whether anybody sees you or not, because the one who can promote you sees you, and your work is unto him. And he who's faithful with little, God gives authority over much. So this went on. I fasted like 3 days, and all of a sudden, my boss comes to me. He says, David, there's a new position that they're giving us. And he goes, and I want you to have that position. I'm like, well, what is it? I'm going to finally get off the mower. But I kind of liked it at this point. I was getting in great shape, and I'm praying in tongues. And he says, it's called evening waterer. I said, what's an evening waterer? He says, well, you won't work during the day. You'll get early dining, early commissary with no line. And he says, and they're buying these water trucks. I said, what do you mean a water truck? He goes, well, they're about this big. They look like a little truck. And you put the hose out. We're getting 250 feet hoses. He says, you'll come out, you'll put it on the hose, and they'll start to water the grass. And he says, you'll also have compound immunity, meaning you can go through any gate you want that you think needs to be watered. And he says, and we're going to give you a pay raise. And I said, you're kidding me. I fasted my meals. I did my work as unto the Lord. God highlighted me for a new position. You want to know what happened? Every day almost, at like 3:30 in the afternoon, it would rain in Colorado over the prison. All my grass was watered by God. They got Department of the Year. They had the greenest grass in the history of that facility in like 70 years. And I didn't have to do any work. I'm getting paid. I've got early chow, early commissary. I'm playing basketball, evangelizing. And during the day, I can study the word. And then I was teaching Bible studies at night. While God's watering the grass for me and I'm getting paid for it. And it made it look like I was the best water boy in the history of that facility. And that went on for months. And so I share this with you that God can promote you in an instant, but it's an attitude of the heart. If he doesn't promote you, are you still willing to do it as unto the Lord? Do you know that, I don't know, probably the first 30 years of my life as a Christian and as a minister, I mean, I wanted to quit the ministry about once a month on a Monday. Or I'm just keeping it real. Mm-hmm. Ministry's not easy. Mm-mm. You take on the burdens of the people if you're not careful. Take the burden of the finances. You take the burden. Anything you do, it's a burden. And then all of a sudden, God gives you gifts. So now you got a healing gift. You can curse cancer. It dries up. Deaf ears start popping open. Blind eyes. The more gifts you get, the more people he'll send to you that are putting a demand on the gift, or they're reaching out, touching the hem of the garment. Now all of a sudden you get prophetic gifts. People call you and they want to know what God is saying. You become their pocket prophet with their phone. And you have to be careful that you only give the word of the Lord. And there's nothing wrong when somebody calls you and you say, I don't know the answer. Well, you got a doctorate in theology. I don't know, I'll go study it. We're life learners. Or you're not filled with the Spirit in that moment and you don't want to give them out of your well. You want to give them out of the overflow of heaven. And your love level always has to be at a level above their issue level, or you're not going to help them. Because it's only Jesus that can help them. It's only the Holy Spirit's love and power that can help them. Not your little cell phone battery. It's got to be plugged into heaven with the overflow. And now when we go into minister, we don't really get exhausted, because we flow out of that relationship sent from him, waiting for the presence of God to come. And when it comes, it's him who does the work through us. We're the hose, he's the water. We're the donkey, he's the Messiah we get to carry in on our shoulders. He's the one that does the work. But he does it through partnership with us. Without God, we cannot. And without us, God will not. He kind of set it up that way. He gave dominion to man. Will you obey him? Will you redeem the time? For the days are evil. You can't redeem the time. But if you ask him, he'll respond and redeem the time and turn the whole thing around and buy it back. Shall we pray? Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we exercise the covenant promises that you gave to Abraham and his seed. That seed not being many, but of one. That seed of Christ, who redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree, is on the cross. Lord, now I thank you for redeeming us from the curse, giving us the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we ask you to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Give us another opportunity in that relationship, in that business matter, in that ministry opportunity. Whatever that thing is, Lord, where we blew it, we missed it. We missed our day of visitation. We pray that you would redeem it and give us another opportunity. And we thank you for it. And we expect it, because you're so good. You're so good. And it's your desire to do it, because you are the Redeemer. You've never been redeemed. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and been forgiven of your sins, the gospel's simple. Jesus was hung up for your hang-ups. Put your trust in him. He'll come in and change you from the inside out. He'll completely renovate you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door of their heart, I will come in and have a table of peace with them. And I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, in my own shed blood. If that's what you want right now, you hear him knocking, just open the door. Say, take me as I am. Come in. Clean me up. Make me new. Cleanse me with your shed blood. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. those of you who've been seeking the Lord for healing, specifically in the area, I come against addictive behavior at the root. I thank you for healing them in the timeline of when the trauma came in and absorbing that in the timeline. Every plant that's not been planted by my Heavenly Father, we root it up now in accordance with Matthew 15:13. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil and praying over them in the name of the Lord, the authority of the Lord, the character, the honor, the position of the Lord, the nature of the healing Jesus. We pray over you now. And we declare healing be in the name of Jesus. I come against carpal tunnel. Loose them in Jesus' mighty name. There's a tumor in the back of the head. Go from them. I break your power off of them. I command the seed and the offspring of this an automatic renewal to cease and desist at the root. Anyone be in Christ, they're a new creation. Tormenting dreams, I command you an utter end to you tonight. And I release the sweet sleep of the Lord. Beloved, there it comes. He giveth his beloved sleep, Psalms 127:2. You're his beloved. And I release the shalom peace of God that topples the king of chaos and removes the tormentor. And the Lord wants to deliver you from unforgiveness. For when you stand praying, forgive, that your Heavenly Father might also forgive you your sins, that this mountain might be removed. So just give it to the Lord and say, I forgive him, Lord. And sometimes forgiveness is a process, sometimes it's instant. Ask the Lord to paint a new picture on the table of your human heart with his paintbrush for that individual. And he'll do it over time. I had to pray for the person who testified against me, tried to give me life in prison without the possibility of parole, lied on the stand. In addition to what I did do, they added things and got me an extra 12 years based on lies. And the Lord had to paint a new picture over a period of a long time, to the point to where now I could sit across the table at the Lamb's Supper of the Bride and the Lamb right now in heaven. I could feed them the first spoonful or forkful of food because God's set me free. He wants to do that for you. And he wants to break unforgiveness out of your life, because he's got so much more for you, because he's the Redeemer. He came to set the captives free. Whether it's the bastille of bitterness, the lockdown of lust, the penitentiary of pride, whether you're forlorn in unforgiveness, the underground of unforgiveness, handcuffs of hatred, the shackles of shame, he comes to unbind you and loose you. And I declare you loosed and free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I release brand new armor upon you right now, the armor of God. Thank you, Lord, for angels ministering right now. Digestive issue is being healed right now in the name of Jesus. The kidney issue is being healed. I see kidney stones dissolving and melting at the hand of the Lord. I command that bile duct that's been plugged up to be loosed right now. Knee problem, a nice healing flow coming right now. The Lord is healing knees right now, putting a spring back in your step. Wow. Lower back on the right. Loose that. Be healed. I command the back and the hips to shift in your body. up in the neck as well. There's healings taking place as the Lord is restoring unto you the years that the cankerworm and the locust and the palmerworm and the caterpillar have eaten out of your life, and you shall eat in plenty and never be ashamed. It'll take you from obscurity to prominence, from the prison house to the palace. He's turning it around because he's the redeemer of the time. And he's giving you double for your trouble in accordance with Isaiah 61:7, Job 42:10, Zechariah 9:12. He gives you double for your trouble, you prisoners of hope. Double unto you as you stay single-minded and look at the sea walker and not the winds and the waves. We bless you tonight in the name of the Lord, who's a strong tower, and those who run into him will be saved. That word saved means redeemed, healed, restored, set free, feet back on solid ground, forgiven, cleansed, as if it never was. Redeeming your life and the time with your 86,400 seconds a day and the wisdom on how to use them. In Jesus' name. You know, right now there's a crusade we're funding in Africa, in Nigeria, West Africa, with our evangelist Israel Ogre. And there's been over 200 people in these rural areas that they're going to, where the average income is $300 to $500 a year, no running water, no electricity. We purchased 70 kilograms, these are like 150 pound bags of rice and 70 kilogram bags of beans. And then we break them up and we take them in and feed the people, because when you give them something to eat, it goes down into their stomach and a smile comes on their face. And they start to know Jesus as the provider in these very, very poor areas. And then we put a K-15 generator up. It cost about $600 a night in fuel. And we put the generator up with the light, and the light goes out and lights up the other lights that we purchased. But they preach Jesus as the light of the world in an area where there's no lights, no electricity. And people come to the crusade. But what's been happening is God has been giving dreams to people in these rural areas, and they're having the same dream. And there's a man in a white robe who's appearing unto them, telling them to go to a specific location that they might be saved. And then an 85-year-old woman who's kind of known as like an oracle in the area, she also has a dream. And the man in the white robe shows up. And who comes behind him is a man by the name of Israel Ogre. Now, she's never heard Israel Ogre's name. So the dream is the man in the white robe telling her that Israel Ogre will tell her how to be saved. So normally we send in 30 workers, because Israel has 30 on his team that pray. But he has a lot of other people that have been in his ministry, but they have regular jobs. They're now taking off for 10 days. 300 of them have gathered. On their own dime, they're leaving their jobs for their vacation time to go to the rural areas to go. We expect somewhere between 50 and 60,000 people will give their lives to Jesus in this next 2 to 4 weeks, depending upon how many days the crusades goes and what kind of funds we have for generator fuel. Normally when this happens, the Lord will give us X amount and then people will donate. Because when God is marketing the event, not on Facebook, not on TV, not on radio, not on brochures, but dreams of the night, when Jesus shows up in the white robe, you can rest assured God's going to be speaking to the people on the other side to fund the beans and the rice. So we believe that people will come to the Lord and it will cost about 50 cents per soul. So if you feel led to give into that, you can donate at virtualchurchmedia.com on the give link, and there'll be a drop down menu It'll be Africa, Crusades. And so that money is a pass-through. And we've been doing this for a lot of years. And so we're going to have some cool drone footage from this one. There's no, you know, cell phone signal, so they'll have to go back with the cell phone and, you know, get it to us and pass it through the internet, and then we'll get it here, probably through WhatsApp, and we'll put it up. But that's what's going on right now, a supernatural move of God through our evangelist, Israel Agre. And so you can go to Africa Ministry underneath her, and you can see kind of the Crusades and then the give link. So thank you for what you do in sending and redeeming the time. And as you redeem the time for others, God will also do it for you and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your household shall be saved. I'm David. This is my lovely wife,
Joanna.
And there's the Queen's Wave. And we are the Hair Obedience, virtualchurchmedia.com. Partner with us. Share this video. God is redeeming the time, for the days are evil. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Awesome.